Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this, our second podcast in our CKI series. Tony Buckley is my name. I'm the chair of CKI, and I'm privileged to be opening this podcast. In our last discussion, we talked about the customs broker, and in particular about the requirement for harmonization, perhaps, of the regulation of customs brokers and harmonization of the competencies required for customs brokers to operate. On this occasion, we'd like to look perhaps at what is likely to challenge customs brokers going forward. And one of our listeners from our last podcast pointed out that I anticipated that we would deal with the question of, is the broker under real threat at the moment? So today we'd like to return and discuss that question, particularly in the context of the changes that we know are coming. Both in terms of the EU customs reform proposals and in terms of discussions and changes ongoing in the UK and the USA. And this morning I'm joined again by my friends and colleagues, Enrique Naujokė of the Lithuanian Customs Practitioners Association, Dr. Momchil Antov of the Bulgarian Organization of Customs Agents, and Kevin Shakespeare, Director of the Institute of Export and International Trade in the UK. So perhaps could we start with you, Enrique? Is the broker under real threat, or are we perhaps imagining threats?
Thank you, Tony. Yes, I do believe that the customs brokers are under real threat. And this is not only my opinion or the opinion of the LCP, the Lithuanian Customs Practitioners Association. LCP is a member observer at CONFED, the Confederation of European Customs Brokers Associations. And here the discussions about the future of customs brokers in the EU, considering the EU customs reform and the new proposed EU customs code, are taking place. I'd like to draw the attention to Article 27, paragraph 3 of the new code. And I will read a little bit. It stipulates that a customs representative having the status of trust and check trader, TCT, shall only be recognized as such when acting as indirect representative. When acting as a direct representative, the customs representative may be recognized as TCT only if the customer has been granted the status. As we see, this is totally new provision, new requirement important in the light that TCT status will replace AOC status in the future and will be heavily promoted, for example, by granting simplifications for TCTs. No TCT, no simplifications. Need simplifications as a customs broker? Become TCT and act as indirect representative for whom you want. By the way, under the proposed new code, the indirect representative will assume liabilities as an importer-exporter, and the TCT will be obliged to grant direct access for customs to data. So, no customs declarations, direct access to data instead. In short, it looks that customs brokers will be push to act as indirect representatives in the future and assume importers and exporters' liabilities. The related risks are hardly manageable, if at all, and only few customs brokers will be ready to take them. And probably customers as TCTs will not require the services at all. Therefore, these changes pose a real threat to the future of customs brokers, who today act mainly as direct representatives when filling out customs declarations with limited responsibilities and liabilities. This is a lot of information, but I hope for the beginning of the discussion it serves as a general high-level overview of the challenges we see If the new customs code will be implemented containing the current version of respective articles. I believe we will address some aspects in this discussion.
Yes, yeah, indeed, lots of questions there, and an uncertain future to some degree. Monchil, would you like to add to that? Do you share the idea that there are real threats approaching?
Yeah, Tony, thank you. I agree with Enrica. Unfortunately, maybe this is the situation, but of interest to me is one other question. Should customs brokers be certified as trust and check traders? And if yes, what will this cost them? And if no, how will they be able to operate? Because at least in Bulgaria, most of the customs brokers are in the group of small and medium enterprises. And to be honest, I don't know if they would be interested in having the status of trusted traders. Even now, meeting the criteria for authorized economic operators is a significant challenge for them, both from an organizational and financial point of view. I think there is a risk that for technical reasons, and not because their activities don't comply with customs regulations, they will remain isolated from the general customs simplification scheme, which will be further hamper their competitiveness and even threaten their existence as a business. At the same time, as Enrica said, even if the customs broker has TNC status, many of its clients will again not have access to the new customs simplifications, except in cases of indirect customs representation, which I think is unlikely to be negotiated. This is a big problem for not only for me, for the customs practitioners community, and I think that maybe we should continue with consultations between the European Commission and representatives of customs practitioners from EU member states to clarify this controversial point.
Yes, thank you. So you're really highlighting the distinction between the effect on practitioners in the small and medium enterprise sector and those with the large multinational companies.
Exactly.
I think that we may come back to that, because that seems to be something of a theme in the EU customs reform program. I wonder, is there a similar feeling at all in the UK, Kevin? Because again, this issue has been raised several times in Europe about the focus, perhaps, in the future plans on the larger operator and on this centralization of data and easing the path for the large operator, with the consequence, as Monchil has pointed out, that the SME sector is feeling somewhat abandoned by the policymakers.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's really interesting to sort of hear views. I think, I mean, first of all, thinking about AEO globally, I think that the view has always been that the original concept of authorized economic operator was a good one. And we must remember there's the safety and security aspects as well as the customs simplification aspect of it as well. And for some businesses, the safety and security aspect in certain sectors, defense, engineering, manufacturing and so on, AEO in terms of supply chains has worked. We would certainly like to see more benefits of being an authorised economic operator. In the UK, the removal of the requirement for customs guarantees, sorry, for financial guarantees for all but high-risk traders has, if you like, diluted some of the benefits of AEO for UK and also for duty deferment removal as well. So I think we would like to see more benefits of being AEO to help small businesses as well as large businesses, brokers and traders, economic operators benefit from it. And I think coming back to the point is that brokers brokers should be given the opportunity to be trust and check traders, so that they can continue to offer the great services that they do to their client base. The UK maybe is slightly different because the concept of trusted trader is now developing into sanitary and phytosanitary with the announcement of the new animal accredited trader scheme in the UK. So we have several trusted trader schemes, so to speak, no longer just customs. So I think the UK maybe is slightly different to the EU, but the concept of trusted trader, trust and check, and using advanced supply chain information is a good one. And I think brokers should have that opportunity to participate and continue to offer the good services, whether that's in the European Union, UK, and or Australia and various rest of world countries.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin. I mean, one of the things that has occurred to me over the years in relation to the point you make about AEO and the fact that the benefits aren't always very visible is that there is a great deal of talk in all administrations about risk and managing risk, but we have no figures or statistics on the extent to which AEOs in practice are safer than non-AEO traders. So we have those statistics on what customs has actually found in terms of the benefits of AEO for the authorities in reducing the risk of bad behavior. And indeed, many regulations, the DSPS regulations notably, make no concession for AEO. In a situation where if your goods are controlled or dual use or whatever, you're subject to pretty much exactly the same examination regime as if you were a one-off sole trader, it's quite difficult to sell the AEO concept. And I suppose in that sense, the advance towards trust and check trader is in principle welcome. Although they're unlike in the UK, where there are assurances of less checks and less onerous checking regimes for trusted traders, the EU makes no such promises, in fact. It says that your checking may be less or your goods may be stopped less often, but in turn, you have a customs person sitting in your computer permanently looking at your data. I'm not sure that that many businesses will see that as an improvement. However, back to the brokers, one of the things that really interests me in the documentation is that the indirect representative will be viewed as the importer or exporter for the purposes of Articles 20 and 22 in the new modernized UCC. And of course, being viewed as the importer for controlled goods, for example, for SPS goods, places on the indirect representative the responsibility for all of the non-customs activity that must be complied with, which means that the indirect representative is responsible for checking the validity of veterinary health certificates and various other certificates of origin and so on, that they become responsible for the validity of that documentation. Am I interpreting that correctly, do you think, Enrique and Moncho?
Maybe I would like Tonya to come back a little bit to the point.
Of course, yeah.
That AEOs currently are treated in many cases the same as everyone. Mm. And we have recently in Lithuania an example. Lithuanian customs makes the export controls related to the sanctions to Russia and Belarus stricter and stricter. Mm. In Lithuania, terminals and customs warehouses who are AEOs, they asked, please give us some more flexibility than to others. Our customs said no. So it's indeed the way you say. And then the companies raised the question, what are the benefits? Then the other point, I'm not sure whether I understand correctly with trust and check trader, that it will be the it is planned the way that the either you are trust and check trader and enjoy all the simplifications, or if you are not trust and check trader, you have no simplifications, because currently we have still possibility to have simplifications without being AEO. So, but if there is an understanding, so as if it will be this way, so Momchil is totally right that it places everybody into two sides. So with simplifications and no hard operate. So these were just some notes on what you said. And coming back to non-customs activities, I do have also the understanding that the indirect customs representatives will be responsible also for non-customs requirements. And this probably can be also related to CBAM regulation, where interestingly, we see indirect representation not only in the new proposal for the customs code, but also in the CBAM regulation. And here the indirect representative in the customs sense also assumes the responsibilities. And as a former customs broker, I try to imagine how could I manage all the information. And, you know, I understand that I don't understand the CBAM language, because it is about calculating emissions, declaring the emissions from the production process, and it's very technical. So I don't know whether it is really correct and whether companies would with confidence assume the responsibilities. So this is my point of view.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, it's very challenging. I mean, the traditional, as Momchil so clearly made clear about the concerns of his association, the for the small broker, it becomes a situation where they simply can't offer a full range of services, and I think that's that would be the case in many countries. So, are we talking? You know, I mean, again, is this a criticism of the whole reform proposal that it is looking at the large trader, the big brokerage entity, which can provide a huge range of services, and ignoring, if you like, the what is the largest volume of people in the market, which is the small and medium enterprise and the small, perhaps sole practitioner broker. Momchil, yes. Would you like to?
Yeah. Thank you, Tony. But you are right, and Enrico also. Indeed, the main changes in this regard, in this new proposal for reform, concern indirect customs representation. And as you know, under today's customs rules, the indirect representative is only financially liable for the customs debt. He acts as a potential payer or guarantor. With the new legislation, the liability of indirect representatives will change. As they will, as Enrica said, not only have to assume all customs obligations of importers, but also compliance with other non-customs legislation. Mm-hmm. For example, they will be responsible for the conformity of the quality of the goods with certain EU standards, etc. This is, in my view, this is a serious challenge because of the unlikelihood that the indirect representative will have all the necessary evidence of this compliance and the unlikelihood that he will verify its authenticity. Another problem, in my view, of course, is the period of liability. Because a customer may no longer be a customer of the indirect representative at the time of subsequent customs inspection, or even the customer may no longer exist in a legal sense. This is also a high risk for indirect representatives, which is very difficult to manage. And customs brokers either must raise the risk levels when making such commitments, or they will simply avoid them. I don't know. I agree that from a professional point of view, the responsibilities of customs brokers should be expanded. But this should be done concerning business reality. This the proposed change to indirect representation seems to me to be very unrealistic and would reduce the number of customs brokers entering such arrangements with their clients. This is
and already, of course, the indirect representation is already quite a specialized offering.
It
seems to me, you know, I have a feeling, perhaps based on my own experience of public administrations, that what the commission is trying to do here is to give itself lots of targets in the event that something goes wrong. And as you know, at the moment, under the Union Customs Code, a customs authority may choose to pursue several different players in the customs transaction. So they may pursue the indirect representative, they may choose to pursue simply the person on whose behalf the representative acted, but they may also involve others, particularly if there's criminal activity, on the basis that they knew that the non-compliance was occurring. I think the tendency of administrations is to spread the net as wide as possible. And I would suspect that in the context of your concern about the indirect representatives, Momchil, the response would likely be yes, but it would be unlikely that a customs authority would in fact pursue the indirect representative where the representative clearly had no responsibility for the non-compliance identified. Now, but there again, I don't know. There is a focus in this reform proposal. Clearly, it's driven in large part, I think, by concern about online shopping and the way in which Europe essentially is flooded with postal consignments and courier consignments, and the central positioning of the redefinition of online platforms as deemed importers, I think, colors a lot of the provisions on the indirect representation, because those platforms will be represented by indirect representatives, which will be presumably highly specialized and closely linked with the platforms in question. And perhaps the commission is reasoning that in that situation, the indirect representative should take more than a simple financial liability for anything that goes wrong. And in that context, I think if it were confined to that context, I don't think any of us would have a great difficulty with it. Am I right there? But it's the, as you point out, Momchil and Enrique, you mentioned it as well in the context of CBAM, as you expand it across the whole range of customs activities, such a blanket provision really needs to be trimmed down and focused and channeled to explain what's involved. Am I right there? Is that a fair overview?
If I may add something, Tony. Sorry, Enrique. You're right, Tony. You're absolutely right. But maybe the main goal is to remove the division of responsibilities and have one actor for all duties, financial and non-financial. And under this proposal, this actor could be either the importer of the goods or its indirect representative. And for this reason, I think this is a problem for our sector, because with this reform, I believe, I hope I am wrong, but I believe that the role of direct representatives will be limited to pure consultants.
Okay.
I hope I am wrong.
Yeah. Kevin, is that view a little too apocalyptic, do you think?
Yeah, so just a few observations. I think certainly the EU have indicated the percentage or the level of goods that will be through trust and check, and clearly it won't be everything. So I guess we also need to take into account those goods that will not be coming through the or those movements that won't be coming through the trust and check process. I think on the e-commerce side, I would probably echo your comments around some of the issues, especially around the undervaluation of goods, and certainly a really big emphasis from the Commission around trying to stop those practices. And I think that is fair, and I think a majority would agree with that. It does create some interesting challenges for some of the online marketplace and some of the fast parcel operators, but I think it also creates an opportunity for everyone to work together so that legitimate e-commerce trade flows, or sorry, legitimately priced e-commerce goods flow. But yeah, I think I think also the point around indirect rep and trust and check is something that would be good to see, and something is the concept of multi-filing, where the trader, obviously, or the economic operator in the case of the European Union, is responsible for elements of the movement, and the broker is responsible for other elements. And the technology needs to make sure that it can accommodate that multi-filing aspect, because there will be aspects where economic operators do want to make sure that they are responsible for, and them solely for example, bringing drugs under license or something into the European Union. So I think it really has to ensure that multi-filing is available. And I think on behalf of the broker community, the discussions really do take place with the European Union around intended and unintended consequences of trust and check.
Okay, I would like you to add as well what Kevin said, that indeed in the business community there is a talk that if we go this direction, more focused on indirect representative, then it should be diversified and set that in some cases, the responsibility, for example, of a customs broker should be limited to the practical extent of what customs broker can really do and can ensure. And as you, Kevin, said, some data customs brokers anyways want to ensure and to take the responsibility. So probably this could be the way and solution to make several layers.
Yeah. Okay, but I think we all agree. What I'm hearing from all of you is that I suppose two points. One is that the provisions in the proposed modernized UCC need to be clarified as to their impact and as to what the intention is, and perhaps because I presume the new UCC will also have an implementing act and a delegated act, that perhaps some of these questions could be dealt with there in terms of clarity. But the feeling I'm getting, the consensus that we are reaching, is that the answer to our question, is the broker under real threat? The answer appears to be yes, and particularly for the smaller or medium-sized customs broker, that the future, it appears, will bring change, and that change will be challenging. Would you like to perhaps give some closing comments on my conclusion that the broker is indeed, or at least the brokerage system as it currently operates, is indeed under some threat?
Yes, so my closing comment would be that we don't know exactly what the regulation will be. We see the threats. So the customs brokers should have several plans, how they proceed, plan A, plan B. And what is the plan B if the proposals that we discussed and possible solutions are not implemented? So the plan B is, as the idea here already circulated, that customs brokers probably must reinvent them as a consultants and otherwise find a way to support trust and check traders in the complex customs related activities.
Mancho?
If I could, I will try to answer to your question with one example from Bulgaria. Enrica, no, this in the last year, 93% of import declarations and 96% of export declaration in Bulgaria were processed in the direct representation. I mentioned big part of customs brokers in Bulgaria are small and medium enterprises. And I think this is an impressive amount of work that is difficult to change. I know we should change something, but it's not so easy. Maybe this is a big challenge.
Okay. Thank you very much. They are really striking numbers, Momchil, and sobering consideration. Kevin, would you like to conclude our discussion for this morning?
Yes, thank you. I think probably to conclude, what we would welcome is as much advance notice from the Commission as possible. So there will be points to be clarified, which we've discussed today, and it's important those points are clarified, and certainly with the broker community in mind, because the broker community plays an absolutely vital role. We'd like to probably see trust and check as much advanced information on the requirements to achieve trust and check, so that businesses and brokers have the opportunity to prepare. Whilst we wouldn't necessarily propose an AEO light type or trust and check light, because that has implications, I think the application process needs to take into account the different types of businesses and different types of sectors as well. We do feel that brokers, the consideration of what brokers actually do needs to be taken into account. Is it the declarations? Is it the customs piece only? Where does the likes of SPS, dual use and other requirements under the EU Green Deal take place as well? And I think clarity is required in that regard.
Great. Thank you very much, Kevin, Enrica and Momchil. And we will end our podcast for this morning on that note. We would welcome suggestions for further topics for our ongoing podcast series. We hope to continue our discussions on a monthly basis going forward. So please let us know if there are topics you would like to hear our views on, and we will gladly discuss them. We will discuss anything, or almost anything. So with that, good morning to everybody, and thank you very much.